December 27th, 2015. Part 1. We're looking a little tired, Daisy. See, we're kind of happy, but just sort of out of it. The mind has craving. The mind that is unwholesome, but it is happy. A mind that has craving actually can have, it's an unwholesome mind, but it can be happy. But there isn't mindfulness. A mind that is unwholesome can have three different feelings. It can either feel pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Usually it's either pleasant or unpleasant, happy or unhappy. A mind that is wholesome can only have happiness or be neutral, have equanimity. So if we're feeling relaxed and happy, it could still be an unwholesome mind. It doesn't mean that it's a wholesome mind for sure. It's possible there's still craving in the mind. So the real determining factor is there mindfulness or not? Mindfulness is required in all situations, at all times, is what the masters say. Longpa learned with many great masters, and they all emphasized sati, or mindfulness. Mindfulness has the function of recognizing phenomena. It recognizes or recollects rupa nama, or body and mind. Mindfulness, some people can be said to be mindful or aware if they're doing good things, but that's not true mindfulness of a meditation, a Dhamma practitioner. For true Dhamma practitioners, if we forgot our body or forgot our mind, then we're not in the correct place. Anything else is unacceptable. But we can't order mindfulness into existence. We can't say, let I have mindfulness. May I have mindfulness? It isn't something we can ask for. It's only something that comes from our own practice. If we want mindfulness to arise often, then we have to practice being aware of mental and physical states. If we're able to precisely recollect different phenomena or different states, then mindfulness will arise. Even if we're practicing well and we attain enlightenment, there will be a phenomenon that we've never seen before. It's never seen enlightenment, it's never seen the noble path in that way. After it happens, we might feel and start thinking, what was that? I don't know what just happened. That was strange afterwards. The mind won't be able to recollect what that was like, and so it thinks and it loses mindfulness because it doesn't recognize the state. Mindfulness arises when we precisely remember states, and in order to precisely remember them, we have to practice seeing them often. Those that are easily irritated, irritable people, each time you feel angry or annoyed, then know it, and eventually we'll be able to recognize the state very precisely. And mindfulness will arise on its own. If we want mindfulness to arise, then that's just greed, lopa. Right? And then if it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, we start getting angry. The mind isn't wholesome. So let's not neglect to see our mental and physical states. Lopa Pramod recommends trying to get to know the state of the mind moving. The mind that moves to hear, moves to see, moves to feel, the body, moves to taste, moves to smell, moves to think. When we're able to see that state, often we'll be able to remember it. Our mind will precisely recollect it, and mindfulness will arise. But in order to be able to see the mind moving, then we need to have a home base for the mind. It's hard to see the movement of the mind if we don't have something to gauge it by or compare that state to. So as a home base, if we like Budo Budo, then we can use it. If we like the breath, we can use the breath. But we don't use this home base in order to make the mind feel better or be peaceful. We do it so that we can see the mind that leaves the meditation object and moves somewhere else. Most of the time, we move to think. Whenever we move to think, then we forget the home base. So we might repeat Budo, Budo. If we feel annoyed by when we're reciting Puto, maybe we watch the breath instead. Either way, we watch the mind move from there. Sometimes the mind moves in to the breath or towards the breath, and then we can know so. Let's practice seeing the mind that moves. And eventually, the mind will precisely recollect this state of moving. Who here has not seen the mind moving out yet? Who here hasn't been able to see the mind move from place to place or move out? Lift your hand. Seems like there are only five or so. Can you see when the mind, when you laughed, that the mind moved already? It got lost in thought? So that time you didn't notice the mind moved. Lost mindfulness. You might know what the state of the mind moving out is like, but not well enough to have seen it a moment ago. You see you in the white shirt, you notice that you have a body and you forgot about it, you have a mind and you forgot about it. The mind will be moving around all the time. It says there are five of you, only five of you that haven't seen this moving. The rest of us have seen. The rest of us should be able to see the mind moving, but usually we get lost for a long time before we see it. There aren't many that are able to see it, move and know it, move and know it, move and know it. That's a little bit more rare. When we reach the second stage of enlightenment, we're able to see the mind. The mindfulness is so strong that it's not possible for stronger defilements to arise, because mindfulness sees it so quickly that it is impaired. It drops away so fast. See, most of us went off to think just now. Can we notice that? Can we notice that when we move to think, you notice we think in such silly, naughty ways that the mind isn't even smooth moving into thought. It moves into all different directions in thought. Moves zigzags this way and that way. It's fun. It's fun to notice and watch the mind. Let's practice watching it. And if we notice a little more subtly, we might see that when the mind goes to think, in the thoughts, there is a shadow of a self that arises in there. And all unenlightened people have this happen. If we are a stream enterer, then thinking is just thinking. There isn't a self that arises when we get lost in thought as a stream enterer. Can we feel that when we're thinking, that it's us thinking? Who's able to see that it's us thinking? That's not an easy thing to see. Have any of us seen it? There was somebody up the front happy. When I just talked to somebody else, that means that you have to see. I said something derogatory to him, and this person here is happy. You got to learn who are your friends and who are your enemies. So don't forget about yourself. Come back and practice seeing phenomena in the future. When the mind moves, mindfulness will arise. And if every time the mind moves, mindfulness sees it, then we won't be able to have harsh defilements arise. And if we don't have any harsh defilements arising, then we won't be able to break any of the moral precepts. These are the highest types of morality, because, well, the lowest type of morality is the type where we've memorized the different precepts and then we force ourselves to keep them. But there's a very special type of morality where we're able to see the mind move. We're able to see the defilements, the mindfulness sees them, and they disappear. And then we're automatically moreful, mindful. For example, we're about to scold somebody. That mindfulness sees it before it comes out of our mouth. And then we won't harm anyone. Even if our mind is busy and the mind knows, or mindfulness sees that it's busy, then the busyness goes away. And it becomes the mind that has correct samadhi. Even in regular, it's momentary samadhi, and it is one that can happen in the regular daily life. It's not about sitting in meditation. If we are able to have this momentary concentration frequently, it will feel as if we're aware all day long. The truth is, we're not aware all day long. It comes and goes very quickly, but it feels as if we're away all day long. Most people hear the word samadhi, and they think about sitting in meditation, arising at access concentration or jhana, but most of us can't do that. Who here has seen the light? Who here has seen the light? You're saying to arrive at access concentration, the breath has to disappear, and then just light arises, and then we're able to control that light, make it big, make it small. And then he asked Jess, have you been able to do that? And I said, yeah, maybe once. I was the only one in the room. So he says, this isn't a very easy thing to do. Obviously, you can see how few people can do it. So what we rely on instead is momentary concentration or samadhi, where we see the mind moving out to think again and again. So if we're able to see the moving, then there'll only be two possibilities. There'll be the mind that is moving, or the mind that knows that it just moved. And we can see that all day long. There's the mind that's knowing and the mind that's moving. But that's a hard thing to do. Most people aren't able to do that. Most people see the mind move, and then they know it, and then they come back and hold, or come back and focus. Somebody put up their hand that says they don't come into focus. They just, their mind moves out to thought, and then they know it. This is pretty much everybody here. Their mind won't be able to just, the mind moves and then know it. Most people, after they know it, that the mind has moved, then what they do is they come in to focus in or come in to hold. Can we see when the bell rings, the gong rings, that our mind moves to the bell? Did anybody notice that? Lift your hand. Who didn't see the mind move to the gong but noticed that their heart was wavering when it happened? It was moving. Who saw both? Who didn't see either? A lot of you didn't see either of them, but you didn't lift your hand. See, usually what happens, when we look at an image or we look at a form in the world, our mind moves out to the form. We feel it, we have a taste, the mind runs out to the taste, to the tongue, to taste. Our mind is running around all the time. When wisdom arises, we will see that the mind that knows is impermanent. The mind that goes, that moves is impermanent. The mind that knows is impermanent. The mind that comes into a focus is impermanent. Eventually, we'll just have knowing, moving and knowing, moving and knowing. without the moving in or holding or focusing. Usually we're used to controlling ourselves and we're not able to do just the knowing, the moving and knowing. And when we are able to see the mind moving and knowing, then wisdom will see that this is something that can't be controlled. We can't control it. It just moves by itself. This is seeing non-self, anatta. So this is walking the path of wisdom. So just being able to see the mind move and knowing it, moving and knowing it, we will have mindfulness, we will have morality, we'll have mindfulness, we'll have correct samadhi, momentary samadhi of the correct type, and we'll be able to achieve wisdom. So all these possibilities can arise, but nirvana won't arise, because nirvana isn't something that arises and falls. The Buddha's nirvana isn't something that is a world that we can go and dwell in. That's a Brahman idea. The Buddha's nirvana never arose and never fell. It's not a place that we go. It's right here at all times. But our mind isn't of high enough quality to see it. If we want to see it in this lifetime, if we want enlightenment in this lifetime, at least stream entry, then we should be able to do to achieve this within this lifetime. But we need to practice formal meditation as well as practicing in our daily life. So let's practice knowing, noticing the mind move out. Let's pick a meditation object or a home base for the mind. See the mind moving from there. So whenever we don't have enough power and we're not able to see our mind moving and we're not be able to do this anymore, then come back and notice the body, watch the body. The body is the home and the mind is the owner of the mind. So if we can't find the owner of the mind, then let's hang out by the home and watch over the home, and eventually the owner of the home will come back. So we watch the body and then eventually we'll see the mind again. If our mind is really restless and we can't even do samatha, we can't watch the mind, we can't watch the body, and we can't do samatha, then just think of something good. Think of something you really enjoy, you really like a great monk. Think of something that you really, someone or something you think is wonderful, beautiful energy, beautiful heart. He's giving examples of the former patriarch, that is now the late patriarch of Thailand, who's a beautiful monk, beautiful energy, or Luang Tam Mahabua, a great late master. His mannerisms don't appear beautiful, but he's beautiful. He's a guy that moves around a lot. He's not holding to some sort of beautiful sitting posture or anything, but his heart is absolutely beautiful. All the different monks are great monks, have different characteristics that are beautiful. They're all different. They don't all have the same personality, enlightened beings. They're all different. So whatever we like, whatever makes us feel good, we think of that for a while.
นั่งก็นั่งยองๆนะก็งามอย่างท่านใช่ไหมพวกเราไปไหนไปถึงไปนั่ง ไม่งามใช่ไหมบางอย่างเนี่ยเป็นเรื่องงามเฉพาะตัวนะคนอื่นเรียนแบบเราไม่งามรู้ตามหาบัว
Some things and mannerisms that we have aren't so beautiful, but when a real master does the exact same thing, it seems beautiful. Like some of the ways that some of them sit, if we sit in those ways, it'll look strange or it won't look beautiful. But when these masters do it, it seems beautiful. So we can think of many different things to make us feel peaceful. We can think about the different parts of the body. We can think about the Buddha. We can think about the truth to make us feel a little bit better. And then we can start practicing from there. This isn't so hard. Let's keep practicing, practice every day. Guy in a gray shirt. What is your name?
Tong.
He's proud of Tong. He's doing very well. Just saying he doesn't answer letters anymore. There's too many people now. Just come to the temple or listen to his CDs. All the answers are there. Answer letters or take personal meetings times.